Right. This is the first of four sessions where we're going to read through the book of Daniel. Some people might ask, well, why read through Daniel? The answer is, why not? So that's what we're going to do this afternoon. It's good to be able to meet together and to read in the company of others rather than just reading by ourselves at home. So that's another reason, and also because this is part of God's word and we need therefore to listen to what God says as a company of his people. So we're going to look at some verses first of all that talk to us about the importance of reading God's word. So 1 Timothy 4 verse 13 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, Paul writing to Timothy and says, till I come, give attendance, or pay attention, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And I think in some versions there may be a marginal reference to the fact that it means public reading, not just reading by ourselves. Obviously that is implied, but the main point is a public reading of the scripture. Just over a couple of pages into 2 Timothy and 3:16, and there is a more perhaps obvious verse where we're told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. So there are some, at least two reasons. There are more. If we were to turn to Psalm 119, a psalm that's been written in praise of God's word. And it's interesting. I'm sure we've all read and thought about Psalm 119, despite there being 176 verses. Each section, as we probably know, begins with the each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each of the 22 sections in Psalm 119 have 8 verses each. And they all, nearly all, contain the 7 or 8 words that describe the word of God. So, first of all, in Psalm 119, verse 81. There may be others before, but we'll start with this one. Psalm 119, verse 81, my soul faints for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. Psalm 114 says the same, so we'll jump on to verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So before even the scripture was written, God knew all about it. He knew exactly what he wanted people to say and how to convey it. Then a few verses down to verse 97. Verse 97, Psalm 119, where the psalmist writes, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then jumping on to 105. Verse 105, this is a verse we know so well. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then right to the end of the psalm, nearly to the end of the psalm, verse 160, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning. Or as the margin might have it, from the beginning your word is true. Whichever way you want to read it. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 in the last verse, your word is true from the beginning. And finally, in verse 165, from reading God's word, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or disturb them. Great peace comes to us through reading God's word. So let's pray first of all, and then we'll sing a song, and then we'll get straight into reading Daniel. We could pray by using the words of verse 18 of Psalm 119, where the psalmist writes, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law." And so, Lord, we pray that as we do indeed read your word, whichever part we would turn to, but particularly this afternoon, we would pray, O Lord, that you would indeed open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, it may be that in this weather we would ask that you would keep our eyes open as well. Lord, that we may hear, that we may see what you are saying to us in your word. So, Lord, grant us your blessing. We pray for those who can't be here this afternoon for whatever reason. Lord, we pray that you would speak to them too and remind them of the wonderful things that are in your law, in your word. So, Lord, be pleased to grant your blessing to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure we're all familiar with Daniel to a greater or lesser extent. And there are some verses that perhaps stand out to us. Other verses may stand out to other people. But I suppose the theme and the whole import of Daniel is in chapter 4 of Daniel, verse 17. And we come to this point, and Nebuchadnezzar had to come to this point, and Daniel already knew the truth of this verse, but Nebuchadnezzar had to come to this point, that the Most High, that is God, rules in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. We can see the truth of that as we look around the world today and in past times. Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. And we're warned also in Deuteronomy, the beginning of the Bible, and at the end of the Bible, not to take away or add to what the scripture says. So Daniel chapter 1, the beginning of verse 1. We read these words. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he had carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the king's seed, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort, that he shall make me endanger my head to the king?" And Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, "Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. That's chapter 1. Incredible situation. Chapter 2 of Daniel. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. The king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, "O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that you will gain time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man on the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, to Mishael, to Azariah and his companions, that they would desire the mercies of God, the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes not the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to those who would know understanding. And he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we have desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts which came into thy mind upon thy bed, what shall come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me, for any wisdom that I have, any more than any other living being, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, and this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, he hath given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall become partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that stone which was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odours to him. And the king said unto Daniel, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret. And the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So read chapter 2 of Daniel. Incredible. We should say that every time we read a chapter. Anyway, chapter 3 now of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up over the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar had set, the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, and all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth, he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not worship thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty of men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and hosen, and their hats and other garments, and were cast into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and made up in haste, and spake, and said to his counselors, did we not cast in three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. And Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word, have yielded their bodies, that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So ends chapter 3. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, I'm sure we could spend the rest of the afternoon talking about that. Incredible events. But I don't know what stands out to you the most. Was it Daniel's trust and that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're a complete trust in God.